wants to show you.
Welcome to the 21st episode of The Sirens and Scream, the geek podcast that proves sometimes dead is better. I'm Jackie DeVore, and I'm here with Melissa Megan.
Hello.
And Sierra Howe.
Hi.
How are you ladies doing?
Good.
Wonderful.
Yeah? Melissa's had a big weekend.
Yeah, that sounded really unexcited, but I am really excited to be here talking to you guys. I'll do better next time. Yeah, I spent the whole weekend in the city at a hair show doing hairstylist stuff and taking classes and watching fashion shows and probably drinking too much whiskey because I had a hotel room to myself for one night. And
nice.
You know.
Very nice.
What else do you do in New York City at night after you've been walking and working all day?
I feel like there are sitcoms devoted to that very thing.
Yeah?
Yeah. Did you learn anything new at the hair thing? I want to know new things. The
That's
hair thing.
That's a hard question to ask. to answer, rather. Yeah, I learned a lot of new things. What do you want me to tell you? Like, what's the... I could tell
what's
you
the
what's
hot
the
hot new trend.
Yeah, the hot new thing.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of set like 70s shags are big again.
Oof. Like, I'm not a fan of that.
Like big bangs with like really kind of choppy texture with lots and lots of messy wavy layers. Also a lot of really super short bangs with sort of disconnected panels of lengths. Mm-hmm. Like super precision kind of sculpted bangs.
That's hard to maintain.
Hard to maintain, but I really like the look. I think it looks really cool.
Yeah.
What about colors? What's coming up in colors?
I think the rainbow thing is like in full force, and mm-hmm. I'm a little bit bored of it now, but you know, I can't say that I saw any like solid trends for a color. Just a lot of like the vivid colors are so big. I guess I would say maybe I saw a lot more like darker shades coming back in, like blacks with greens and darker blues, a lot of neon, like lime green and bright yellows. Actually, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add to my recs list tonight. I'm going to add a hairstylist that I think you guys would be into. Although it's not horror, I think she fits into kind of a dark category.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. All three of us have some variation of purple going on
right
now.
I was just about to say that. It's funny how all of us kind of go through like, oh, we're all blue. Now we're all pinkish. Now we're all purple.
Yeah, we definitely have our own little trends going on here. And we never like coordinate them or anything. It's just we get on, you know, this video chat or something. We're like, oh, look at your hair. Oh, look at mine. Speaking of recommendations, Melissa, you want to go ahead and start with yours?
Oh, me? Okay. Okay, so I promised you I was gonna recommend something. I'm gonna give you a hairstylist first because that's what we started talking about. I think you guys would dig her. There's a woman named Emily Costello based out of Philadelphia. Her Instagram is Costello X Cult. She just started up a new salon. Let me see, where is her salon is called Cultivatex, and they also have an Instagram account, which is also really cool.
Nice.
But Emily Costello in particular, I really like her. She definitely has kind of, I guess you would say, like a darker style about mm-hmm. her. And she does really cool, artistic, crafty sort of things. I saw her speak at a couple of things this weekend. I saw her last year too. But this weekend I heard her speak. And I think that besides her kind of dark, creepy style that she likes to create in a lot of her stuff, she appeals to me because she sort of... I couldn't figure out before like why I felt somehow attached to her, but she appeals because she spoke this weekend about how she never kind of really fit into the beauty industry, like the long hair, big nails,
yeah,
bling sort of thing that's really common with hairstylists. And I definitely don't fit into that either. You can kind of see that in her work and in her presentation.
Yeah,
that's very cool.
Yeah, she's not like your average stylist. And even persona, like to hear her speak. She speaks kind of just like we do, you know, like a lot of stylists get up there and they're a lot of kind of ego and flash and talking up themselves and their friends and name dropping all these people. And she's very just kind of like, all right, like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but this is, I think, what's good. And she just kind of, you know,
this is what thinks cool.
Yeah, just like very humble and kind of like chill person. And I've met her and she's really cool in person, too. So
nice.
Yeah.
She has really good bangs herself. I'm looking at her right now on her Instagram.
What was her name again?
Costello X Cult.
Yeah, that's her Instagram.
But she has like long black bangs that kind of cover her eyes a little bit.
Ooh.
It's like very like gothic and beautiful.
Yeah, her name is Emily Costello.
She reminds me of there's a band called Io Echo that's kind of gothic and indie, and she looks just like the frontman.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember when I saw her last year, she was into wearing like beanies at the time. I don't know if she wasn't wearing one this year, but, and I saw her on stage with all these like guys in like fancy suits and stuff. And she's up there in like skinny jeans and a black beanie pulled down to her eyes. And I'm like, who is this chick?
Hell yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, she's really fun and really cool to watch. She's definitely what we call a craft hairstylist. She's all about the tools and the craft, and she does weird shit with hair that I appreciate and stuff that I wish I could do more of. But
stuff,
you know,
that you would see in a David Lynch kind of thing.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other recommendation I want to make is actually an art gallery. It's in New York City. I was reminded of it when I was on my trip down there this weekend. First time I went there, I went actually for an exhibition that was Menton's work, who's the guy that does our Sirens artwork. And it's called Last Rites Gallery. It's located right in, I think they're still Midtown, New York. Yeah, they are. They're like Midtown on the edge of Times Square. Really, really cool. I didn't even realize that they had a Tumblr until now, but I just read this little blurb off their Tumblr because I think this is a pretty cool description of who they are. It says, established in 2008, Last Rites has become a premier gallery for the dark art movement and a haven for artists who prefer to explore the ominous, uncomfortable, and eccentric in their work.
The dark arts.
Yeah. I guess I'm doing a gothic thing this week.
I'm into that.
They have some really amazing stuff, and I've seen everything there from paintings, photography, sculpture. The gallery itself is just gorgeous. I mean, it's just really great. They have a second floor with these like iron railings and big velvet couches. Really, really cool place to visit. If you're ever in New York City, you should definitely stop by and visit them. And they have, of course, rotating galleries of different artists, all of them with a dark vibe to them. But if you can't, you can also find them on Facebook. They have a Tumblr, and they also have an Instagram page. They do some really great photography of the work, so it's fun to even follow them online because they'll do like several different views of a piece of art so you can really see it up close.
Nice.
Sometimes they'll post videos, kind of a little tour of the gallery so you can see like what's in the gallery at that moment. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Sierra, tell us about these monsters.
Oh my gosh. So I figured it was time to talk about my favorite monster drawer. This artist's name is John Ken Mortison, and he does very detailed ink drawings, just like lots of really, really good line work. It's kind of Edward Gorey-ish.
Yeah.
But all of his monsters are just amazing and creepy, and like so they have a good balance of being simplistic but still like getting a lot of detail in there. His monsters are all very whimsical, kind of fairy tale feeling, and they all kind of feel like they exist in this other plane of being that's kind of creeping into our world. A lot of pictures are these monsters kind of interacting with little kids too, and these little kids being really unfazed by these monsters. It's an interesting juxtaposition between those two. Like, the monsters are creepy, but these monsters, like, they make the kids almost be the creepiest part of the picture because these kids are just like hanging out with these monsters.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's one of my favorites. It's one of those recommendations I've been sitting on for a while.
Yeah, that's a great way to describe this artwork. It's very, man, this elicits feels here.
Right?
This is so cool.
And every single one of them is like a whole story. This artist is one of my favorites. He's up there with the guy who does the like scary stories to tell in the dark drawings. I feel like he's kind of on the same level.
Yeah, I can totally get that feel from this. This is awesome. So I intentionally led you to the monsters first so that we could talk about your next recommendation together.
Yes. So so I brought it up last episode because it had just come out, but I hadn't seen it yet. But I saw Get Out, and it's so good.
It is so good.
It is so good.
I went and saw it late last night specifically so that we could talk about it together on the show, on this particular episode.
I don't even know what to say about it. It's just
any first impressions there?
It lives up to the hype. I also feel like if anybody's like kind of waiting on seeing it, I would recommend going to see it in the theaters. I had a really good experience seeing it with a big group of people, and everybody in the theater was like screaming and clapping and laughing at all the right moments.
Yeah.
And so I feel like that was, it added to the whole experience of seeing it.
That was definitely the kind of experience that I had too. The entire theater was like standing up and clapping at certain moments.
Totally.
And it I feel like it's just one of those movies that you just really get drawn into, and you're like really rooting for certain people and really want to, you know, see it through.
Exactly. Which is, and it has a really good build up to wanting to root for a character.
Yeah.
And then once you get to like see that character like be really badass, it's so exciting.
Absolutely. I was really kind of curious and interested to see what Jordan Peele would pull together for a horror movie.
Yeah, me too.
Like, because, you know, he's pretty much a comedian. Like, he pretty much does all comedy, basically. Mm-hmm. And this being the first movie that he's written and directed, altogether, this was kind of out of left field. Like, what are you doing over there, Peele? But okay,
but
let's watch this.
But it also, like, made a lot of sense.
Yeah, when, like, when you actually see it, yeah, it very much, it feels like his movie, it feels like his baby, and it's so cool.
Yeah, it's really good. It's hard to talk about without getting into it, and talking about theories and, like, spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah, we're being vague as hell over here, because we know we don't want to give away any spoilers. It is still in theaters right now, but still, it's awesome.
It's so good.
What's the what's the general premise? I keep hearing it's so good, but I don't even know what it's about.
There's a lot going on with race relations in it. Basically, this black guy is going home to meet his white girlfriend's family for the first time.
And it gets real creepy real fast.
Shit gets weird. Yeah. Shit gets real weird.
But it does a really good job of making you feel so uncomfortable in the same like real life kind of way that you have to imagine black folks would feel uncomfortable in especially this America today. It does a really good job making you feel things.
Yeah, and it really makes you kind of, if you're a white person sitting there in the audience, it kind of makes you hate your own race a few times. It's like, oh, they're just so white sitting there drinking the cold milk with the straw. And, it is very, if you're very sensitive about race, I would say go watch it anyway, because I feel like that's the kind of thing that we should probably be open about anyway.
Yeah.
Just be aware that that's a very strong theme throughout the entire movie.
Well, and I feel like it was also just interesting as a white person to watch it and not feel super attacked, but feel like I'm kind of brought into a place where I can be empathetic.
Yeah.
And, like, understand and see, like, oh, even when she is acting like an ally, how that is still like very alienating and very like could be
almost
terrible.
Condescending in some points.
And how she kind of thinks she's so great because she's acting like she's sticking up for this guy, but like then of course there are more turns to that story. But
yeah,
for the topics that it covers, it wasn't like hitting you over the head with it so much, and it didn't feel like it was really pandery or like too heavy-handed or anything like that. Because it was all coming from a very real place and, like, definitely based on experience kind of thing.
Yeah, the way the social issues were presented there were really expertly crafted.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's just so good. And then it also, I saw it with Tucker, my partner, who is not super into, like, modern horror. He says he's, like, I just like 80s horror kind of thing. And so he doesn't usually like to go see horror movies with me. But he was even like, this movie is so good. Because it feels like it kind of transcends the, like, it definitely sticks out as one that's, like, gonna be talked about and remembered for a long time after this. It's not just gonna, like, be forgotten, like, a lot of the other things kind of coming out.
Yeah, it's very unique. There are a lot of different parts about it that I feel are extremely unique to this movie. Not just social issues that it brings up, but just the entire way that the horror basis, like the what the actual horror is going on there, is pretty unique.
Mm-hmm. And it does a good job of doing the thing where like the main character is kind of questioning what's real in the horror movie, in the story, and like also you're kind of questioning what's real. But it doesn't feel like you're ever kind of being, like, that's kind of manipulating you. It feels like you're kind of experiencing it as he's experiencing it versus a lot of other horror movies that are like, oh, nobody believes you. But of course you think that this is real. And that's just like a point of frustration and tension that is like really unnecessary for you as a viewer, because you're like, no, of course there are ghosts. Why doesn't anybody believe them?
Yeah.
That just like creates unnecessary drama to keep the story going. But this one doesn't do that.
So two thumbs, or I guess four thumbs, very, very high up. Go see Get Out. My other recommendation here, I guess it was like a combined recommendation for Get Out, which I love, is Bloodborne, which is a video game for the PlayStation 4. It's a PS4 exclusive. Bloodborne is very interesting and very, very detailed video game. It's been a while since I played anything that is this involved. It's a crazy dark, really hard Lovecraft-inspired game about fighting beasts and getting to the bottom of what's going on in this particular timeline here. The style of the game really sets it apart. The art style particularly is gothic. It kind of has those thin, stretchy lines and the dark palette kind of feel to it. A lot of like wispiness in terms of colors and changeovers and things like that. It's a deviating from the Dark Souls games into a horror theme. The game itself is filled with gross and crazy monsters and huge bosses, and there's a lot of like soul taking and actual blood taking, and it's like there are crazy scientists and like weird mythic stories, and it's just so fucking bizarre. Like, honestly, just to give you an idea of the insane amount of detail that is in this fucking game. Like, there's this side quest, this little side story about a little girl who needs help. And if you help her, I don't even know how to describe this. It's like this entirely weird, detailed side story that you don't even have to completely go through. But if you help her, you get like a ribbon saying that she's okay and survived a certain thing. If you don't help her, then you come back and see this ribbon stained with blood. And later on in the game, you encounter her sister and you can give her the ribbon. And the sister gets all creepy and weird. And it's just so fucking bizarre, guys. I don't even but if you like industrial era games with beasts and nightmares and seriously a storyline that will keep you up for days and feels like it's ripped right out of Lovecraft, I would highly recommend this one. Yeah, if you have a PS4, get it. It's awesome. Game of the year, every year.
I'll watch YouTube videos of this one.
Yeah, that'll be a good one.
I just keep hearing that it's really hard. So I'm not going to play it.
It is really hard, but it's a fun kind of hard, I feel like. It's one of those games where when you get to certain points, you actually feel kind of accomplished. Like, you don't just feel defeated having to restart a billion times. Like, you actually feel like you got somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah. So I think that's it for our recommendations. Today's topic is fear. More specifically, those fears and those little situations and intricacies that we just can't handle, which we will talk about right after the break.
I'm not afraid of ghosts. I'm not afraid of sharks. I'm not afraid of cancer. I'm just afraid of snakes. They really creep me out. Where are their arms and legs? It's not okay. I'm not afraid of ghosts. I'm not afraid of sharks. I'm not afraid of cancer. I'm just afraid of snakes. They really creep me out. Where are their arms and legs?
Welcome back. Fear is one of our most primal instincts. Even as small children, we can recognize predatory animals on screen, such as snakes and spiders, easier than we can recognize things like flowers and sharp objects. Those things that lurk in the shadows and raise our adrenaline are exactly what draws us to the horror genre, but there's always that one subject that we just cannot handle. Whether you want to admit it or not, there's always something that will have you hiding behind your hands or actively looking away. These are the things that make even sirens scream. Before we actually jump into our questions and topics here, I would like to share a little side note with you guys that I've noticed, because I've been asking people over the past week, hey, what's something that you just can't handle? Mm-hmm. I included the word fear a lot in my phrasing and noticed that every fucking male that I asked this question to was like, nothing. I got nothing. I can like I'm handle so cool. everything. Like nothing scares me. Like
that's a fucking lie. Yeah.
So it was driving me crazy. Like even the other day I was talking to my tattoo artist and was like, okay, what's one thing that you just can't handle? And he's like, no, I'm good with everything. And then I was like, oh, because, you know, like, I don't like spiders. And he's like, yeah, spiders creep me out. I'm like, why didn't you exactly. say that? Like, what?
You have to phrase it like, what's the thing that gets under your skin? Like, what's the thing that really skeeves you out that you just can't, just can't deal with it?
Like, what's the thing that makes you squirm? Like, what makes you uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that was a phrasing that seemed to get a lot more attention from people. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
In and of itself.
I thought it was weird.
Yeah. Could you say that their fear is admitting that they have fear?
Ooh.
There we go. So let's jump right into it there.
I'm done. I'm done. That's what I have. That's what I have for the show.
That's it. That's it.
I brought it. I'm done.
She's tapping out here.
Mic drop.
So my own personal fears and things that I just can't handle are spiders, which, I mean, if you listen to our show, you know this by now.
Probably
I talk about how much
this.
I hate them constantly. Eye gouging or anything to do with eyes. When your eyes pop out, there's actually a word for it. It's called enucleation. And yes, I know that. No. At the drop. Or
can I
nails
interrupt you with something
off.
Really horrible that you aren't going to like?
Oh, God, yes.
There was, I think it was an episode of Risk, the storytelling podcast, but it was this woman who has some kind of autoimmune disorder that caused her eyes
to bulge
out.
Oh, God,
so,
yeah.
So the doctors, she asked, like, she couldn't close her eyelids. So she asked the doctors, like, what do I do when I want to go to sleep? And they're like, just tape your eyelids closed. And she's like, I'm not going to do that. So she just slept with her eyes open. But because her eyes didn't get the moisture from being closed, they dried out and shriveled up. And then she woke up with her eye outside of the socket lying on her pillow next to her.
Sarah, why?
Well, because I know that information now. And
I
have to live with
it.
And now I need you to live with it with me.
Oh, God, that is, like, one of the most horrible things I've ever heard.
Yeah, so she told the story, like, a lot better than I did, because she, like, went through it, but...
Oh, God.
Oh, that's just a thing that can happen to you.
Have you been watching any of the Santa Clarita Diet?
No, not yet.
I know I recommended it last week. I don't know if I should tell you this thing, because I don't know if it's considered a spoiler, but... I don't think it is, because it's, like, the third episode in or something. So, you know, the whole point of the show, right, is like she's basically a zombie, like a fully functioning human.
It's like iZombie.
Yeah, she's walking around, but like she realizes that she has to eat people to survive. And mm-hmm. at some point in the show early on, she also starts to figure out that, you know, when that happens and you're walking around dead, then your body starts to fall apart a little bit and things.
Oh, shit.
So like, yeah, there's a great point in this show where she turns to look at her husband, who's Timothy Oliphant, and she's like, no, everything's going to be fine. Everything's out of control. Everything's controlled. And she turns to look at him, and her eyeball's just, like, hanging out of her face.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
He's just like,
it's funny.
I don't know what that is.
No.
And it's just wobbling That's around. Terrible. And then, yeah, they keep kind of using that for jokes later. Like, she can't quite get it to stay in right, so she's always asking him to, like, touch it and move it around for her.
Maybe I'll just skip over that show entirely, Tim. Oh, God. All right. Sierra, what are you afraid of?
So I have a couple levels of the things that I'm afraid of. One thing that I am, like, irrationally afraid of is vomit and vomiting. Like, if there's somebody in movies or in real life around me who says that they're nauseous, or if I start to feel nauseous, I just go into full panic mode. And I need to, like, get away from the situation no matter what. And there's not really anything that I can think back on that caused that fear or that reaction in me. But it's just, I can't do it.
That was definitely going to be my next question.
Do you get the gag reflex? Like, will you barf if you see somebody barf?
No. If I see somebody, it's not that it's going to, like, make me do it, too. It's just that I'm sweating and breathing heavy and can't catch my breath and can't. I just need to, like,
so
get away.
Basically have, like, a panic attack about it.
Yeah. It's, wow. And I don't know why. It's just I've always been that way. And like, even to the point where, like, I'll dream about something where I'm, like, walking around and somebody throws up next to me in my dream. And then for the rest of the day, I'm thinking about it and, like, picturing it and replaying it because my brain is an asshole. But, yeah, that's just, like, one thing that definitely comes up in not just horror movies, but, like, a lot of TV and movies and everything, too.
And real life.
And real life, yeah. Can't have kids. Can't deal with that. Yeah, one of other reasons, but... And then other things that I just can't... Whenever somebody's, like, getting a shot in movies or in shows, like, when that needle pierces the skin, that's one thing that I'm like, ooh, I just need to look away.
Oof. Like, wait, I can... Don't you have tattoos? You have piercings. I can see your piercings.
Yeah, it's so okay for me. It's okay, if it's on me, but if it's somebody else doing it, I don't know. That's one that's, like, not gonna, like, elicit a huge... like physical reaction for me, but it's one that, like, I've noticed if it's gonna happen in a show, you can kind of, like, anticipate it, and I always kind of, like, okay, I'm just gonna close my eyes for a second.
Yeah,
which is weird because I can deal with, like, in horror movies, like, blood and guts and limbs being torn off and things like that, but, like, a little needle is weird. And then the other big thing is, like, snakes. I don't like snakes. And I don't like alligators or crocodiles or just any kind of reptiles or lizards.
Is there a reptile phobia?
I'm sure that there is.
Is it the scales that bother you or the...
It's their
cold-bloodedness?
Lifeless eyes. I don't know. This is another one where, like, I will watch videos on Instagram of weird reptiles because it's kind of, like... It's kind of like an adrenaline rush and kind of a thrill to, like, watch them because they're so gross.
Dude, so weird that I don't like it.
So it's not, like, such a crazy phobia where even watching it is, like, I can't deal with it. But if I'm around, like if I'm at a, I don't know, a zoo or something where there's an alligator, I need to, like, step away from that. I can't deal with it in real life.
So you're kind of like Archer. His three greatest fears are crocodiles, alligators, and brain aneurysms.
That's fair. I agree with that.
The brain aneurysm is what happens if you get too close to an alligator or crocodile.
Mm-hmm. Can happen to anyone at any time with no warning.
Logically, it is called herpetophobia, by the way.
Okay. It's a real thing. But we went to Disney World last year, like last fall, and I was excited to go, but I didn't want to be in Florida because, among other things, there's crazy.
There are lots of alligators there.
Lots of alligators down there.
So many. Does it make you less afraid of them to know that they like marshmallows?
No.
No? You're still afraid? Okay. Thought it might help. Last time I was on an airboat in Florida, the driver gave us a bag of marshmallows. He's like, toss one in the water. And I toss one in and wah, chomp.
What? Yeah. That's crazy. Did they know it was a marshmallow or did they think it was like a bird?
I don't know, but something. Apparently that's just like a thing. They like the marshmallows.
Okay.
Well, they probably have fed them like in that area many times marshmallows. Like, I don't know if...
Too late now.
Yeah, I don't know if you just went out to a random canal somewhere and threw marshmallows in the water that the alligators would come swimming around to get them.
Sounds worth testing out, though.
Yes. I need more research.
Well, I lived in Florida for 15 years and have canoed next to alligators. And I've known people who have, like, gone in the water with alligators. So, I've never heard this mention of alligators eating marshmallows before, so I'm guessing those alligators are fed marshmallows.
Well, it's not exactly the kind of thing that, you know, a random person in a canoe would be like, hey, I've got this marshmallow in my pocket.
It does make me feel better to think of an alligator with a marshmallow on every single one of its teeth, so that if it tried to bite you, it wouldn't hurt. That does help a little bit.
I love this. You're gonna have to draw that up. So how about you, Melissa? What are you afraid of?
Well, there was something I was just gonna say that was the opposite of Sierra, and I can't remember what it was now. Oh, the needle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have a problem with needles in myself. And not, like, I don't have a problem watching it on TV, but I have a problem like, I still, you know, when you have a kid, like, you have to give blood, like, every 3 months or some shit. They just keep taking it out of you. And
why? Wait, what? No, why?
Because there's, like, all these different things they have to test, like, blood sugar levels and...
Oh, like when you're pregnant?
Yeah, when you're pregnant. Oh,
okay, all right.
Not like, yeah, not like forever meant, like, after you have a kid.
That's what I thought you meant. Like, just in case this kid gets hurt and needs blood, we're just going to have a supply of your blood ready.
Like, yeah. Like, is there like a mini fridge somewhere that says Max on it? Just
full of blood. In case of emergency.
Well, I mean, yeah, if your kid is a vampire, then you have to regularly get blood taken to feed them. It's kind of like breastfeeding, you know, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, I still get like green and, you know, lightheaded, and I can't look at it. I can't watch when they do it. And yeah, I do have a lot of tattoos, but it's completely different for me than getting tattoos. It has less to do with the needle piercing the skin and has more to do with the kind of like in and out of the vein.
The sucking of the blood. Yeah. The blood coming out.
Yeah, the idea of, like, the pressure or something being injected in, like, it's that sort of thing that makes me feel like I'm gonna barf.
Don't, please.
All right, but because I had to listen to the story about the woman and her eye. For a minute. The woman and her eye. You get to hear the story about some of the worst pain I've ever felt while I was giving blood.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So I used to live right next to a blood bank, and it didn't really help when I would tell people I wasn't a vampire that I lived next to a blood bank. But yeah. So I would give blood as often as I could.
It would be a logical right there, place for a vampire to live.
Yeah, right? I could just, like, walk over there on my day off and get blood. So one time I went over there, this was the last time I've given blood, in fact. Get all set up. I've given blood, like, dozens of times. It's no big deal. And this woman dabs my arm pretty hard. Doesn't get a vein. So she starts, like, digging around with a needle inside my arm. And it's just like
she a lot of pain.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a lot of pain going on there, but I'm not really sure what to do at this point. Like, you can't really say, pardon me, Miss Nurse, but can you stop digging around my arm?
Yes, take that thing out of my arm.
But so finally she finds the vein. So she gets the blood flowing and everything's going well. And then suddenly the flow just stops, like, randomly. With no reason. So she comes over and removes it from that arm and brings it to my other arm and does the whole searching underneath the skin with the needle thing again. Finally stabs the fucking needle and it starts flowing again, and then it stops again. And this bitch comes over, and I swear this is the worst pain I've felt in my life. She comes over and she grabs the needle while it's inside my vein and twists the needle. Like 180 degrees inside my vein. It was the most painful fucking thing. Oh my god. My entire arm was bruised for a very long time. Yeah. It was a lot of pain, and I haven't given blood since.
She's not good at her job.
Nope.
I'm looking at her on Instagram and not listening to you anymore. I'm not.
Hey, if I had to hear the story about the woman with the eye, you get to hear that.
I had to do blood recently to do like a physical or whatever. I just tell them, like, listen, you have to be good at this and you have to be fast, and that's it. Don't show me anything. Don't talk to me. I'm going to look over there and you better be quick, because if it takes too long, I'm out of here. I will walk out the door with that shit hanging out of my arm.
And punch you in the face on the way out.
Yeah, I just can't. Luckily, I'm transparent, so they never have any problem finding in my veins. They're just, like, bulging in blue on both arms, so...
That's what really got me about this whole woman digging in my arm thing, is I am pale as fuck, man. You can look at my arm and see these blue things running through there. It's not a mystery where they are.
That's terrible.
So what else are you afraid of?
Well, spiders is definitely a thing for me. I remember when I was a teenager getting kind of trapped in the kitchen. I don't know. There were these, like, tiny little house spiders on the ceiling. And kind of, yeah, like, they were, like, I felt like they were, I don't remember. Maybe this, I've made this up in my memory adding over the years. But, you know, I remember, like, being in the kitchen and seeing one kind of on a cabinet coming down. So I'm like, all right, I'm getting out of the kitchen. And then there was, like, one kind of coming down off of its web, like, in the doorway of the kitchen. And they were kind of just, like, coming down around the room, and I couldn't get out, and yeah.
No!
I have one more recommendation, even though it's not the time for it anymore. But, A different podcast that I listen to, My Brother and Me, the McElroy brothers just did their TV show for CISO, and they have an episode that you can watch on YouTube for free, and it's about being afraid of spiders.
No!
But it's good. They overcome their fears. And they rebrand spiders to be okay.
Okay, but...
No, there's no rebranding of spiders.
Is their process of overcoming the fear, this whole, they're more afraid of you than you are of them bullshit? Because that is a lie.
No, I literally... they're fuzzy little tarantulas. They're so soft.
No! Oh my god! No!
Well, they're ranchos.
Oh god.
But...
I literally had spiders run up my leg before. They are not afraid.
Mm-mm. I'm okay with spiders. I just don't want them to touch me. Which I think is just reasonable.
Spiders are creatures of hell.
They are.
I'm a strict vegetarian. I do not wear leather. Do not hurt anything. I will kill a spider in a second. I will not hesitate. They're from hell and they will be sent back to hell. That's it.
One time my husband tried to introduce the concept of a spider heaven, and I damn near divorced him over that.
Well, now I want you guys to watch this episode of My Brother and Me.
Nope.
And see what you think about their rebranding of spiders.
They throw a parade on that one, Sarah.
Rebranding.
They throw a parade.
Come on.
It's a very strong nope there.
Unless they show up in like bunny costumes so you can't tell that they're spiders. Oh my
god. Don't sleep bunnies like that.
I just discovered Jackie's biggest fear of all.
Oh my god.
Spiders and bunny costumes.
Wolf in sheep's clothing.
If I can't sleep tonight, Melissa, I'm coming for you.
That was totally accidental. I don't know why I said bunny costumes.
I literally have a bunny climbing at my leg right now.
Maybe it's not a bunny.
Spiders.
Just watch carefully and see if he moves with all four legs sticking out to the side.
No.
Oh, jeez.
So let's get back to Melissa's fears.
I'm also really scared of spooky kids in movies, which is, that's one of those things that I torture myself with because I really love Asian horror, Japanese and Korean horror, mm-hmm. and they just love spooky kids.
That's going to have to be an episode eventually.
Mm-hmm.
And ghost talking. I love ghost movies, but when they start talking or whispering, or you know, that kind of sound when like it sounds like lots of voices kind of together.
I love that. I
hate it.
I love that.
That's the minute at which I like have to grab my blanket and wrap it around me and cover my eyes. Like I can't. Yeah, that's when it really like, and that sound will stay with me after the movie's over. Like I take it to bed with me. I can't sleep.
How do you feel about on ghost hunting shows when they get EVP recordings and they like play it back and you hear the ghost voice?
Those I don't. Yeah, I think because I'm too like sciencey. I can't watch those shows and believe it.
I love it.
that makes no sense what I just said. That was completely logical. I can't accept it when I see real people finding the sounds on machines, but I can accept it when I see it in a fucking movie that's scripted and put together with CGI.
In fairness, when you're watching a movie, like you accept the rules of that world, like you are like stepping into that world, so that makes sense.
And I think one of my biggest ones is probably morgues, like I'm talking like tile walled like morgues.
Okay, you've mentioned this before and I'm really curious, what exactly about the morgues are you afraid of?
I don't know because I'm not afraid of like anything dead body related. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's something to do with the kind of weird, like sterile, slippery environment and like the bodies kind of being like contained and
do you think it's a matter of like a facing your mortality kind of fear?
I don't know. I really am not sure. And the only thing I don't know. I know that I went to a, I thought it was like a movie thing, like just something in movies that creeped me out. But I did go to a haunted house. They used to do this amazing haunted house down in Orlando. It had like European actors who would come every year at Halloween. And it was big, giant old house that they would turn the whole house into a haunted house. And it was one of those ones where you had like different scenes in each room. So you'd go like, they had like the Exorcist in a room and then they had like a Freddy Krueger like steam room that you had to make your way through, and the ones that like they make everybody keep their hands on the next person's shoulders and you have to keep moving forward because because people would get scared and try to turn around and run back. I went to one of those with my big sister and like went through the Freddy Krueger room, and he like comes flying by on like a rolling cart, like scraping his nails down the thing next to everybody. And
awesome.
Yeah, the Exorcist one is like she's lying in bed and the priest is there like actually reading passages next to her, and then she leaps off the bed.
The power of Christ.
Like right when you get to the bottom of the foot of the bed. It was a really good haunted house, like really good actors. They would come cool. just inches from you, you know, like you weren't sure if they were actually gonna touch you at any point. But I remember with my big sister, and then we walked into a room that was a morgue, all tile with little tables, and there were body bags like hanging from the ceiling in rows, yeah. Zipped up body bags. And I just like, I held on to her. And she's like, okay, come on, just keep going. Just keep, I'm like holding on to her. And I was about 2 feet into the room when something clicked and the body bags started like the machine came on and started like moving them up the racks.
Oh no.
I just dropped to my knees and I crawled through that room. Oh. I crawled all the way. And my sister was laughing hysterically at me, but I just like, and I just remember closing my eyes and just crawling as fast as I could because I just couldn't. I felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I was so scared. And I knew there was nothing in those bags, you know? I know that it wasn't real, but I don't know. It just sent me over the edge.
Were you aware that you had that fear before that? Or was that, like, the moment where you realized you were afraid
of them? Yeah, no, I think I thought before that it was just, like, a movie thing. Like, oh, I find movies about morgues particularly creepy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like I'd ever been in a real morgue before. I've never been into one, so that was the first time I stepped into something that felt like a morgue. And it was the only thing, that haunted house, that scared me that badly. But yeah, I crawled on my hands and knees to the other side, up against the wall on one side so that the body bags wouldn't touch me on my way through.
Nice.
I'm not ever going to go into a morgue. Hopefully. Not until I don't know any better.
Well, you just answered our first question here, which is moments in horror or that stick out as traumatic or shocking. And the first time you saw them and things that you still can't watch. Well, that would be, you know, a real life version of it. Are there any particular situations in movies and shit like that that have come up and given you that same terrifying feeling regarding those fears?
I think Poltergeist for me.
With ghosts talking.
Yeah. Like, I think that's where it started because I saw Poltergeist pretty young. I was hearing Carol Ann like yell for her mom from the netherworld, whoever she was. And the voices coming out of the TVs.
So can you watch that to this day?
I can watch it, but that's the first time I remember being really terrified by, like, a sound in a horror movie. And it still, like, makes me shiver every time I hear her voice. And I've seen that movie, you know, dozens of times. It's one of my favorite horror movies.
That's a really bad fear to have these days. Because if there's one thing that's been really improving in movies lately, it's sound design, specifically with regards to those creepies. Kind of sounds.
Yeah, there was another one too, and I can't remember for the life of me what the name of it was. I want to say it was like Haunted Hill or something, but it was a story with a haunted house, and I remember there was a woman who tried to go to bed in this haunted house, and she laid her head down, and as soon as her head touched the pillow, then the voices started. She heard like all these, and she lifted her head up really quick, and you know, kind of like, oh, I think I'm going crazy, and then she laid her head back down, and it started again. And that, I don't think I made it all the way through that movie. I think I checked out at that point. I was like, no, because I can't ever lay my head on the pillow again. Like,
oh.
It stuck with me.
I remember the Conjuring movies had quite a bit of that ghost surround sound going on there.
And I think the other one, too, which on its face wasn't such a terrifying movie, was The Grudge. I think that's why that movie scared me so badly, was the sound.
Oh, yeah, the clicking sound?
No, that...
Yeah, like throat sound?
Yeah, that weird, like, throat choking sound that was always coming out of the room. I think I could probably watch that... I could probably watch that movie on mute, maybe, but I can't... Like, the sound I can't handle. I even tried... I got so scared of that movie that I went onto the website, like, a week later, because I couldn't stop thinking about it. And I thought, well, maybe I'll go to the website and, like, see, like, behind-the-scenes stuff, and it'll kind of, like, take the scare out of it for me. And, no, the website was, like, you walk in the front door of the house, And no. then you have to, like, and then it takes you, like, right to a mirror in the hallway, and you're looking in the mirror, and the menu pops up. I'm like, all right, so I just have to not pick anything that's involving the monsters. And then as soon as you pick something, you turn around, and the voice starts coming from up the stairs, like that sound.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it didn't help. I actually turned my computer off and left the room.
Oh, that's rough.
Those movies, those moments stick out for me. Like, I'm shivering right now. How about you,
Sierra? I remember watching The Sixth Sense for the first time, and there's this scene where he's in his, like, little fort thing night, and he, like, opens it, and the girl's there, like, covered in vomit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Doesn't it actually, come out of her mouth? She's like, blah.
Yeah, it's so bad. And I like, have that memory, like, burned into my brain. Blah. And then I think I would watch the movie a couple times more and, like, not watch that scene. And then I watched that scene again a while later, and my memory of it is way worse than what actually happens. I think that I had a dream about it after I saw it the first time, and that dream, the imagery in it was just, like, a lot worse and, like, grandiose than what actually happened in the movie, to where I kind of remembered the dream as what was actually happening in the movie. Oof. And then I rewatched it, and I was like, oh, that isn't actually as bad and, like, drawn out and terrible as I remember it.
Yeah. What about The Exorcist? Because I know, you know, that's,
it's also pretty bad, but it's not as bad.
Yeah,
because it's, like, bright green. I think when things also, like, I feel like that's kind of in the same realm of, like, Evil Dead, with, like, just spewing, like, any kind of color of crazy bile and blood and everything, to where it just feels like it's not going to happen to a human. It's just going to happen to these, like, demons.
So is Stand By Me a horror film for you?
Oh, I can't watch that scene either. because also that scene, like, builds up to it. So I know there's, like, it's equally bad to be surprised by it and to feel the building tension of, like, I know this is gonna happen. And so for, like, why The Sixth Sense sticks out was because it was so, like, such a surprise and unexpected. But then also, like, I haven't seen the Stand By Me scene. I've seen that movie a lot of times, but I haven't seen that scene.
I'm not afraid of vomit, but I do think it's, like, a horrible, it's one of my least favorite, like, attempts at humor. I hate when movies just, ugh, like, have people barf
so bad
for humor.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It annoys me.
Sandlot or something too, where they went to an amusement park and they, like, had smoked cigars or cigarettes or something, and these kids went on, like, a spinning ride, and then there was, like, a vomit thing. Maybe it wasn't the Sandlot, but there's definitely, I watched that movie in some elementary school grade. I can't remember anymore, but that was definitely a moment where I was like, oh God, I'm panicking, and I'm, like, a kid, and I can't let anybody know that I'm freaked out by this. Because it's like a fun movie day. Like, we aren't actually doing schoolwork. It's supposed to be fun, but now it's terrible.
Your barf fear is going to ruin it for everybody.
Yeah. Everything's awful. I want to go cry, but I can't let anybody see me.
What about with the reptiles? Do you have anything that sticks out with that?
Those are things where I like watching videos of it because it's creepy, but I'll have dreams about it. And if we can jump ahead a little bit, we took some quizzes and things, and we found a website about, like, what your fear means about you. And there was one for snakes. It says, you are a loving and devoted friend and family member. And that is surprising because I feel like I usually, maybe every month or so, will have a dream about snakes and, like, my little sisters. And I have to, like,
oh no,
defend my little sisters from these snakes or from alligators. Like we'll be in one of the apartments that we lived in when I was a kid, and, like, alligators will be, like, hiding behind the couch or something. And I have to, like, get past them to, like, go get my little sisters. So that was one where, like, I guess the deep-rooted fear is real based on that explanation.
I used to have a lot of dreams about snakes, too, although I'm not afraid of them. I actually used to have a snake. Ryan and I both had reptiles for pets. Like, we're both big reptile people.
Oh.
But I used to have a lot of dreams about snakes. Like, snakes, and sometimes the snakes were different colors. I don't know if I'm one for, like, trans, you know, what dreams mean and all that, but I remember having like specific dreams where almost the action was repeated, but like the snakes would be a different color, or I'd have like a different number of snakes. Weird. And they usually weren't like, I wasn't afraid of them in my dream either. They were just like, I was holding them or picking them up from the ground, or
I'm always afraid of them. Like, they're scary in real life and in dreams, but like seeing them on a screen isn't scary. Like, that's more fun.
My big one for horror things that stick out there would obviously be arachnophobia and that fucking spider on fire and still coming at them.
You actually saw it? Oh, I've never been able to watch it. I've never been able to make myself watch it. Oh, God.
I saw it when I was a kid, and I remember, like, my brother kind of goading me into watching it. Like, he knew I was afraid of spiders. He's like, you can't even handle this. I'm like, I can.
I'll show you.
Watch me. Watch it. No, never again. I will never watch that shit again. It's terrible. The other one is a scene in 28 Days Later where Cillian Murphy fucking pushes his thumbs through the ninth
that's right.
Doctor's eyes, and it's, I don't remember his name, but you know, it's that
Christopher Eccleston.
When that pressure gives, and it's just, oof, I can't.
See, because I feel like that happens a lot in, like,
it does
action movies and things, but that specific scene went further than a lot of them do.
I mean, I can't even watch it when, like, the hands are reaching for the eyes is when I reach my hands
you
for
start
my
yelling,
eyes,
duck,
so I don't have to look at this shit.
To cover them. Yeah.
And I'm like, Drew, let me know when it's over. Even in Get Out last night, there was a moment.
Yep.
I don't even remember because I put my hand over my eyes.
I remember watching it and be like, ooh, Jackie's not gonna like this.
But yeah, I can't handle that at all. But yeah, that one scene in 28 Days Later, oh my God. And it's like, there's a sound involved and oh, yeah. No, that's too
gross.
Much. So with that in mind, you guys like 100% avoid the things that, you know, set you on edge that you know are going to trigger those fears? Or do you still watch and read them but feel kind of differently compared to other types of horror?
Snakes and reptiles and things I will watch. And I watch them because they make me feel kind of different than just like regular ghosts and murders and serial killer kind of horror.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost kind of novel.
Like, it's a different kind of fear.
Yeah. But like, I don't want to watch vomit ever. Luckily, everybody who I would ever watch something with knows.
Yeah.
And so they can like, oh, okay, don't look, I'll tell you when.
Yeah, when I was watching Starry Eyes, I'm like, man, Sierra would love this, but she can't watch this scene. She can't.
Doug Benson does a podcast called Doug Loves Movies, and he used to have a segment called Not for Emetophobes. And emetophobia is what it's called when you're afraid of vomit. So whenever he saw a new movie that, like, had a vomit scene, he would talk about it and be like, okay, it's all good, except for when you start to see this scene, avert your eyes. And I appreciated that a lot.
That's funny. Does he have that fear? Like, is that why he does that?
Or? I don't know. I don't know why he started doing it as, like, a bit, but now I need it, like, an app like that, that one app of, like, when you should go pee during the movie.
Hmm.
Like, when it's safe.
I think it's a pretty common thing for people to react to seeing somebody vomit by, like, giving their gag reflex. Like, they feel like they're going to vomit in return.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that's not my experience.
No, but I mean,
maybe
that's why he does it, because it's still kind of, because it's such a common thing for, like, people to be physically ill from seeing someone get, from seeing someone barf. So, yeah, you wouldn't want to have, like, a movie night and have people barf it on your couch.
Nope.
That would kind of suck.
I forgot one of my biggest fears. I can't believe I completely forgot to mention this. It's dark water. Like, I can't go. And it's totally weird to me because I learned how to swim in a lake in upstate New York where, like, you can't see anything. And that's, my mom was a lifeguard when I was a kid. So I swam a lot in dark water when I was a kid.
Maybe that's why.
I'm just terrified. Like, the scene at the end of Friday the 13th when Jason pops out of the lake, that famous scene, like, that scares the bejesus out of me. Like, I've seen it a million times, and every single time I will jump out of my seat. Or, like, just watching her touch the water with her finger, like, makes me feel, like, physically uncomfortable.
That actually reminds me, I'm gonna have to find for our next grouping of recommendations. There's this artist who likes to draw scantily clad women chilling on the surface of water with just gigantic monsters underneath them.
See, that's exactly that's it. Great. Like, I, in my head, I just imagine if I can't see in the water, then there's like, there's dead people down there. There's beasts down there. There's things that are going to eat my fingers. Like, everything that my imagination can conjure is under that water if I can't see.
I don't like water in movies and things because I'm not a strong swimmer, and so whenever somebody is swimming or in the water or under the water, I have to like hold my breath while they're holding their breath, and it's more of like a claustrophobic drowning kind of thing rather than like something's gonna get you.
Yeah, the something's gonna get you, it really like it feeds on that primal fear of, you know, things you can't see and things you
I guess it's kind of a version of being afraid of the dark, right?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I have a friend that won't eat sauces that she can't see through. She doesn't know what's there.
I respect that. As a picky eater, I respect that.
Well, you can't really fit a shark into a sauce dish, but...
These little tiny sharks that are going to bite you on the inside.
Say that. When we were kids, my aunts convinced my brother that there was a shark living in my grandmother's pool. Like, you know, a man-made in-ground pool that you could see to the bottom of.
That's evil.
It was hilarious because they were like, look, there's a shark right there. And it just happened to be, like, he turned around right when a bird flew over, so he saw the shadow of the bird in the pool.
No.
And he wouldn't get in that pool anymore.
It's that glass shark.
It was hilarious.
So, a funny story about this fear that I think Sierra will find funny is... I used to canoe when I was in Florida, and I was on a canoe trip one time with a bunch of friends going down a canal, and we had seen a few alligators like pass by them. And realistically, out in the wild, they, you know, as soon as they hear you speaking or they see the boat moving around, they'll move away. Like, they don't stick around
until you get one that doesn't.
Yeah, this jerk that we were with thought it was funny to tip people's canoes over, and I was I was in a canoe with my boyfriend, and like I wasn't afraid of the I had a friend who came out of his tent that one morning with his lip blown up because he had gotten bit by a spider.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh god.
We had another friend stand up from his canoe into a hornet's nest. There were alligators in the water. Like, we encountered everything that you could. I did not panic until my canoe got flipped over and I had to stand in the water. Of the,
it's like the worst trip that has ever happened.
And it was not like,
why would you live there?
It's just because I couldn't see. It was so dark and I had like everything was slimy and I couldn't feel. I just like found a rock and just stood on the tallest rock that I could, screaming and panicking until my boyfriend got the canoe back over flipped so that I could get back into it.
Oh, jeez.
But just, I remember like I was fine to that trip. Like, I was just fine with everything else until the minute I had to put my feet into that dark water and got flipped over.
That's creepy.
Yeah,
shit.
That was the scariest thing. And I don't like that. I mean, maybe there was an alligator. I don't know. If they were, then they probably were scared off by all the noise that we were making. But I was just more afraid of what I couldn't see in the water.
I think maybe my alligator thing stems from when I was little, we would go camping in Salem, Oregon, and they had at least two wax museums that we would go to every single time, and they had a Ripley's Believe It or Not museum. And that was my favorite thing in the world, to go to those three museums. But then there was one spot in the wax museum where it was really dark, and you had to go over this little, like, wooden bridge, and there was just enough light to see that there might be an alligator down there. And then it opened its mouth a little bit moved, and it scared me so bad. Maybe that's where it stems from.
That could be it.
Yeah.
For these things that we don't like, do you think that's how people who don't like horror just feel all the time about the scary stuff? Like, do they avoid horror because watching it is, like, honestly terrifying to them?
I think some people just don't like the adrenaline rush of being scared in general. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think everybody has like specific things that they're afraid of and things that maybe other people are afraid of that they don't think are a big deal.
Yeah.
But horror really relies on whether it's jump scares or whether it's sounds or whether it's environment. It relies on, you know, a certain kind of like adrenaline rush of being scared, which is a different kind of adrenaline rush of, say, running a race or skydiving or...
Right. It specifically triggers that fight or flight instinct.
Right. But I think some people are just not into that.
Fair enough.
I'm interested in the people who are like, I just don't watch any horror movie. Like, anything ever. Because I love horror so much, and I just want to, like, share it with them.
So, okay, I have a
But then there's just no going in. Like, they're just like, nope, I can't do it.
So a little bit of kind of insight into that. It's, you know, it's adjacent to that. My best friend refuses to watch anything that, like, has a sad ending. Like, she doesn't like shows where people just constantly lose. Like, nobody's ever winning. Like, she refuses to watch Seinfeld. Or she doesn't like Futurama. And that's funny. Yeah, and it's really interesting to me to hear her talk about it. And I feel like that's got to be how people who refuse to watch horror, like, it's that same sort of thing. Or, like, how I really hate rom-coms. I don't want to see the girl figure out that her ugly neighbor is the man of her dreams. Like, it's just, just not my thing.
Well, maybe it's, like... Like, I don't like running because it makes me feel terrible when I'm doing it. Running. So maybe people are like, why would I watch that horror movie? Because I'm just going to feel terrible.
Running is the worst.
I hate running because it makes me feel like I can't breathe.
Yeah. We've talked about dreams quite a bit. Do these themes show up a lot in your dreams just in general or in real life? Or does it feel different seeing them in movies or comics versus real life? I can actually start this one off with, I am equally terrified of spiders in any context at all. Like, fucking terrified. One little anecdote, I was doing laundry and I turned around and there was a fucking massive spider, like literally the size of my face, on the wall behind me. And I had my phone with me, so I took a picture of it as I'm like really shaking.
It was real?
Freaking out. Oh, it was real. It was, like, really real.
I thought Drew was just being a jerk and, no, like, this, put something on the wall.
This was a long time ago. I didn't even know Drew then. Okay. But, and I, like, this was when cell phones with cameras had just come out. I literally emailed myself the picture and printed it out and kept it in my glove box. Because it just, like, it gave me such a rush looking at it. Like, it would make my hand shake and it would, you know, my palms would be sweaty and I would get so upset looking at it. And I don't know why, but I liked torturing myself a little bit sometimes with that thing, but that's about as far as I'll go with spiders. That's it.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I have found myself, like, I used to completely avoid an area where I thought there were a spider or where I saw a spider, but now I, like, I'm kind of embarrassed to admit this because I am I'm an animal rights person, but I, like, now I just, I will fuck with that thing until it runs away or hides to where, like, I will. And I do it from afar. Like, I'm too scared to get close, but I'll get, like, a long stick or, like, I'll take, like, leaves.
Wait, it's like a specific spider?
No, just, like, any, like, if I find one, like, on the, you know, sometimes there's this big nasty one that hides, like, on our, like, our electric, what is it called? The box outside where, like, the meter. Where they read.
Mm-hmm. Kill that bitch.
And
kill
I just,
it.
Yeah, every time in the summer I go out there and I see it starting to, like, make webs. And if I catch that thing, like, I will get, like, leaves and sticks and just, like, pitch things at it from afar and, like, try to destroy its web. Like, I just hate you so much. I'm going to destroy your house over and over again. I can't get close enough to kill it because I'm too scared of it. But, like, I just will torment it just to try to, like, let it know how much I hate it. Just, like, go... Oh, and it never goes away. It's been there for 2 years. Yeah, it's giant. Like, you can see, like, three legs sticking out and you, like, you know it's there.
Oh no.
I can't. Gross. I don't think they don't scare me as much, like, reading them in a comic though, but definitely in games. Like, I have to stop and mm-hmm. help me to get past a spider in a game.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I'm with you with in comics, it doesn't really bother me. I think it's seeing how they move.
Definitely a movement thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, like, that's what really terrifies me. And in fact, in Portal 2, when you're first meeting GLaDOS again, and you're, like, entering a tunnel and GLaDOS, like, descends on you with her arms, like, outstretched, she really reminds me of a spider. And I just find her so intimidating in that specific scene because she's so spider-like in it. Like, anything that's spider-like,
they
like that.
They know what they were doing.
They know.
Like, the first time we saw that kind of movement in The Ring, when she crawls out of the TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That kind of, like, herky-jerky thing.
Yeah, the jittery.
Yeah, yeah. And it was also in an old movie called The Messengers.
Oh, yeah.
Where the ghost, like, crawls across the ceiling.
Was that the one where the girl was, like, making the bed and she lifted up the bed sheet? And you see the feet? There were feet under the bed sheet? I think about that scene a lot.
Yeah, there was one when the little boy was sitting at the table and he looked up over his mom's head. And she asked to describe what the ghost looks like. And the ghost is, like, on the ceiling with its head turned backwards, staring at the kid.
I need to rewatch that
movie. And he makes a face, like, as he's looking at the ghost. And it's like, oh, and then you see it go and scurry across the ceiling. And it's like, oh. Yeah, the spidery ghost.
That was in Exorcist 2, right? Where she, like,
yeah, that was an Exorcist.
Did the back crawling thing.
Yeah, that herky jerky movement. That, yeah, I don't know. Creepy. I'm sure there's a technical name for that, but that thing that they do.
Herky jerky.
It's too spidery.
Would you guys ever do, like, immersion therapy?
Fuck no!
Have you thought about that?
No! Sierra, how dare you! No!
I like my sanity, thank you.
I like my skin. I would rip it off. No.
I really want to compare our results in these quizzes and see how we all did on these quizzes. All
right, let's skip on ahead here.
Can we do that?
Yeah, why not?
I went on Google and I looked up quizzes that looked at, like, what are your fears and what does that mean about your personality?
Yeah.
And found some choice ones. They're all pretty cheesy.
They were fun, though.
But we can put them in the... Yeah, they're fun. We can put them in the show notes.
Yeah, they're wonderfully cheesy. Well, let's start with the common fears and what they mean about your personality ones. Sierra, do you want to read yours?
Yeah, that was the snake one that I started talking about, right?
Yeah.
So, if you're afraid of snakes, it means that you are a loving and devoted friend and family member. You value people and your relationships above all else. You are willing to go to the mat for a person, and you'll be the first one to defend them in an argument. Your fear of snakes is a fear of your loved ones being threatened. Psychology Today writes that one scientific theory is that humans and other primates are predisposed to acquire fears of critters that once threatened your ancestors' lives. Your snake phobia is simply your mind's way of instinctually looking out for those who you love. While being a devoted friend is a good thing, make sure you also look out for yourself. Striking a balance in your relationships is key. Rather than giving a loved one everything that they want, try seeking out compromises that leave you both satisfied. In the long run, balanced friendships will last longer and be much more meaningful.
Very cool.
And that's all just because snakes give me the heebie-jeebies.
Yeah, seems definitely accurate.
Well, also in this article, the image is literally like a giant python biting a guy's face. And like, yes,
I'm not afraid of snakes, but that picture scared me.
That picture is like, awful. Really?
Yeah. The picture for the spider, like, I saw the little legs at the bottom of the screen, and I just, like, had my hand over the screen as I was scrolling.
I found a way to place it so that, like, I can only see the bottom of the guy's mustache enough to read the words. I can't see the picture.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
So, for spiders, this is what it says for spiders.
This is for both of us, so you can just read both. It's for both of us. That works.
You may suffer from arachnophobia or fear of spiders. You are a strong individual and an even stronger leader. People flock to you and find inspiration in your methods. Your leadership skills have helped you to advance quickly at work and have made you the true head of your household at home. That part's true. You are...
I am a strong, independent woman.
Your fear of spiders is not something to fret over. In fact, arachnophobia is incredibly common. A UK study of 261 adults, which seems like a really small
it's a really small
pool,
study.
By the way,
it does.
Show that 32% of women and 18% of men shared your fear. Similar to germaphobes, your fear of spiders comes from a disgust response, but yours has more to do with not wanting to be common or, quote, a follower. Your ability to lead is admirable, but your fear of following may actually be a hindrance. No one can be in charge 100% of the time. It may be good practice to let someone else take the reins for a change. Let a coworker lead a project. Try focusing more on contributing to the team rather than running the show. I don't think I asked for all this advice here.
See, now I don't understand how those things relate to not liking spiders, though.
Yeah, like it... Yeah.
Like, it seems like they were making a connection and they skipped a
it
spot
It feels
in
more
between.
Like a disgust response to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, but why that makes you a good leader doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I don't know.
Lead people away from spiders.
Yeah.
I think this show is a great example of how Jackie and I are both good at letting other people take the lead.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. There.
Quiz thing.
Personality take quiz.
That. That'll show them.
All right, what's next?
How about what is your true fear? This one was interesting. This is the one that actually looked like it might be slightly like legit. Until you get more. Well, only because the website itself looks like it's from like 2009 and, you know, some doctor who doesn't know how to internet
they
made
all kind of do.
All right. Well, what was your true fear? Melissa?
Apparently my true fear is disappointment, which was 80%, which is a pretty high number. So it says you are a fun loving, energetic and cheerful person. Wrong. You love adrenaline rushes and going out at night. That's why okay. I podcast every weekend.
Yep.
You constantly have to be having a great time to feel completely happy. Your biggest fear is not having anything to do or having a huge disappointment or letdown in your life. You hate being sad, and something in your life suddenly went wrong, it would be extremely hard for you to deal with. Just remember that everyone has to deal with hard times. Stay strong, and pretty soon your fun party life will get right back to the way it used to be. It's pretty hysterical.
It is.
I decided that I was cool with having a kid 4 years ago because I'd given up on that fun party life already.
Sierra, what is yours? What's your true fear?
My true fear is where your life is going, which is pretty relevant, I think, to where I'm at in career-wise. It says, you are a very determined and willful individual. You have a strong set of goals that you plan to reach no matter what. You may be an overachiever at times, but that's because you want to be successful in your life. The greatest accomplishment for you is when you reach a high goal. However, you constantly worry that it's not good enough to do something, or if your life doesn't go according to plan. You worry a lot about your future and if it will meet all of your high criteria. Don't worry, with your determination and your hard work ethic and organization, chances are things will go according to plan. That's legit.
Yeah.
Maybe I should retake the test.
Mine, I think, is really funny. My true fear is being looked down on, and it tells me it's 91%.
Wow. Dang.
Yeah. It says you have a very high self-image, which let me just go ahead and say that's not true. You're the kind of person.
Well, because you really want to be popular, right?
Yeah, that's my whole life. If I'm not popular,
yeah.
If I don't have the most signatures in my yearbook, like, what is life even worth? You're the kind of person that loves being the center of attention. You're very outgoing and outspoken. You also always have to look your best. Guys, when's the last time you saw me with makeup on? It's been like at least 2016, right? Whether going out or just hanging out with the girls, if you're not looking great, you're not happy. You're a natural born leader and love when people look up to you. Your worst fear is that someone won't like you or look up to you. If someone criticized or critiqued you to the point that people stopped wanting to hang around you or began thinking less of you, that would be your worst nightmare. You secretly really want to be liked, respected, and appreciated by others. A good way to make sure that people have a positive view of you is to consider their thoughts and feelings also. There is some...
No shit.
Right. I mean, there is some truth to that. Like, I do want to be liked by friends, but doesn't everybody?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, the details it went into, especially with, like, always wanting to look your best. Like, when I went to see that movie last night, guys, I was in pajama pants. I'm not going to front here. Like, this is not my life. Let's see. How about, how would you die in a horror movie?
Oh, that one was fun.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys get?
I got werewolf. I don't have the explanation right in front of me, though.
You got what?
Werewolf.
Oh.
I'm like, it ripped apart by a werewolf.
I got murder shack.
You're going to get killed by funny. A shack.
Like, what the hell is a murder shack? I mean, apparently, really any building that murder happens in could be called a murder shack, right? I do have the description, which is not what I thought a murder shack was, which is why I found this one so entertaining. It says, you fall into a vat of rancid, poisonous spiders at the home of a creepy old widower who lives in your town's murder shack.
No!
My town has a murder shack?
Every
what?
Town has one.
Like, does every town have a murder shack?
Apparently
rancid,
so.
Poisonous spiders. What the hell? rancid. Why and why spiders. Does this creepy old widower
those,
have a
those spiders are rotting.
Have a shack full of rancid spiders. I don't it's funny.
Mine is demon spirit. You're possessed by a demon spirit and it forces you to commit terrible crimes. A priest performs an exorcism on you, but you die in the process and the evil spirit transmits itself into the priest.
Oh shit. I just redid all the results on mine and the explanation for werewolf is you're eaten alive by an angry but actually kind of attractive werewolf. And that is all. And I feel gypped.
I love that.
I would not have gone through and reclicked all those buttons.
Like seconds before you died. Like, oh, you're actually pretty good looking.
I'm actually kind of into this wolf.
You're really hot, wolf. I'm okay with this. You have my consent.
I don't know. You guys, your things make a lot more sense than mine. I don't I don't understand why a widower has a murder shack full of spiders.
Just everybody needs hobbies.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, they're just gonna do it with their time. So the next one is the picture test will reveal your deepest fear. I'm apparently scared of death. Your deepest fear
really?
Is death. This comes in a number of fears, whether it be fearing the death of somebody close to you or fearing dying yourself. The thought is morbid and rightfully scary, but you should reverse this fear into making sure you appreciate the good in life, the things you have, and the future ahead of you. Which is wrong. That's all I have to say about that one. It's wrong.
Mine is so incredibly wrong. And I can't stop laughing because it's got this gif on it with of one of the guys from The Office, like, falling over onto the floor over and over again.
Oh, God.
He just keeps falling and falling and falling. Okay. Mine is fear of sickness.
So,
what is that gift I don't, to do with that?
Like, apparently he's sick. He's falling over and over again. He's, like, falling down. Yeah. Okay, so you ready, guys? This is really, really accurate. This totally describes me, like, perfectly.
Let's hear it.
Based on the images that scared and terrified you in this quiz, you are subconsciously afraid of sickness. You're a health freak at heart, but treat your body like a temple it is. You're strong, athletic, and irresistible. You take pride in your good looks, charm, and strong sex appeal. The scariest thing you can imagine is being physically weak and becoming sick. The smallest sneeze can send you spinning with fear. Don't sweat it. You're incredibly healthy. Nothing can stop you.
Does it have your medical records over there?
This is so not accurate. As I say, I'm sitting here shivering in my blanket, eating my kettle corn. Yes, my body is a freaking temple.
This is the silliest thing we've done on this show so far, and I love it.
I love it too.
Sierra, what's yours?
Mine is scared of being hurt. Your deepest fear is being hurt. Fear of being hurt or betrayed means that you tend to keep your guard up and you find it difficult to let people in. You have a very small circle of close friends who you confide in, and even smaller number of people that you trust indefinitely. This fear might stem from being hurt in the past and is something you found difficult to move away from. Unfortunately, everybody gets hurt at one time or another in life, but what you choose to do with it is up to you. Adele turned her pain into a huge career, after all.
She sure did.
Yeah, so that's what I gotta do now.
Well, if Adele can do it, Sierra.
Yeah.
So can you.
I got it.
Final one is, what do the images you pick reveal about your deepest fear?
This one is especially exciting because one of the set of pictures is all John Ken Mortison monsters.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I noticed that too.
So wait, was that, okay.
I thought about recommending it before I looked up the quizzes, all right, too.
That was going to be my question.
It was a happenstance.
That's awesome.
My result was fear of rejection, and it has this gif of a little boy dressed in, like, a tux at a wedding, and this little girl in a little wedding dress, and he tries to kiss her, and she moves away. And it seems it's a very good representation of toxic masculinity and about how, like, we really instill those gender roles in them young. The explanation is, based on the images that scared you and horrified you in this quiz, you're subconsciously terrified of rejection. You're a warm-hearted, sensitive, and loving person who can't imagine anything worse than being rejected. You have so much love to give, and having somebody just cruelly turn it down is the scariest thing you could ever imagine. Don't fret. Being rejected once or twice doesn't mean a thing. You deserve nothing but the best, and only people who can see that are worth your time. That's kind of like the same one from the one before.
You seem to be on a weird trend here, Sierra.
I know. I really need people to recognize how great I am and stop hurting me.
Well, mine is a fear of failure. And naturally, the image it's giving me for it is a gif of Monica from Friends going,
okay.
Yeah. Based on the images that scared, frightened, and terrified you the most in this quiz, you are subconsciously a successful type A winner, terrified of failure. You're a perfectionist at heart who has big dreams and serious potential, but there's always the chance that you might trip up and fail. Nothing could terrify you more. Relax, you're a rock star. No matter the ups and downs, you will always come out on top.
Nice.
Yeah.
So, weirdly, I think I read the wrong results. I think the last one that I read is actually the one that you guys are reading now. Oh. The one with the GIF on it. Because I'm like, how come I don't have a picture of my results? Because I read the wrong one.
Which one do you have there?
The one I'm looking at is the picture test, reveal your deepest fear. Which I thought was a tricky one. Because a lot of these pictures are like, I had to like make myself feel these things about the pictures.
Yeah. It's like, which moon makes you feel the most...
Yeah. Which starry sky makes you feel most curious? Like, it doesn't really make me feel curious.
How do
or which
I
dog makes you feel most tired? And like, the one in the blanket, I guess, because he looks warm.
I think the cute one.
All
yeah.
of them. Which one is sleeping the hardest?
The one in the blanket.
I took that one as, which dog do you want to cuddle up with?
So, and the other thing that's funny about this is my result on this one was I'm scared of failing and not succeeding. So I got the same result as Jackie on a different test. Really weird.
That's weird.
I know. And I confused it with the wrong test.
That's funny.
So yeah, your deepest fear is failure. The thought of not succeeding or achieving your goals and dreams lingers over you a lot, and it's always in the back of your mind. Sometimes you work extra hard to make sure that doesn't happen, but sometimes you can cave and fall into the mindset of, what's the point of even trying? Which is every day, pretty much. Everybody fails at things in life, though, and the beauty of it is you can learn from your mistakes and try again. After all, some of the most powerful and richest people in the world failed before they succeeded.
Yeah, obviously.
I want to just add that I just scrolled down for a second, and the very top comment on the bottom of this quiz, somebody said, I really wish that for all the answers of this quiz was Trump. You were afraid of Trump.
It'd be right.
That would be accurate, yeah.
That's the first comment.
All right. We got to wrap this up. This is the most ridiculous episode.
We just laughed for like 90% of the episode.
Pretty much. All right. So before we wrap this up, though, we did ask on Twitter and Facebook here what other people's fears were. And from Ed Labes on Twitter, we heard claustrophobic environment. He said, which is weird because I'm agoraphobic and not claustrophobic. And also from Ms. Lizzie on Twitter here, she says palms being sliced, grabbing onto knives or swords, or just being cut. Which I gotta admit, that makes me cringe sometimes too.
Grabbing onto knives and swords is not a good idea.
Yeah.
Don't do that. I just want to say, I don't know if you guys remember, but Liz is one of our old node pals.
Our nodies.
Yeah, I love her.
Hi, Liz.
We have a couple more fan fears here. From Twitter, we have Sabrina Khan saying body horror. Not a fan of torture porn. I think we can all agree on that one. And also Gizmodo saying everything about human centipede. Also fingernails getting ripped off, which the fingernails getting ripped off is one of mine too. So I feel you there. And then a few from Facebook here. From June Gregory, who is a good friend of mine. Haunted mirrors and hallucinations during sleep paralysis. That's terrifying. Another good friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy Hartman says, when people, quote, scratch their way out of something and it rips their fingernails off. Eesh. Seems like we've got a few fingernail haters here. I could watch something be decapitated, but I cannot handle hand and foot injuries, she said. Brianne Figlia, sorry if I say that wrong. Anything that threatens harm to a child, my heart races and I have to look away. You and Melissa are in the same boat there, Brianne. Finally, we have Maria Samuelson here saying pulling off of nails, eyes being poked out, and any kind of teeth trauma is when I sign out. Maria, I think you and I should watch some movies together because I can't handle any of those either. All right, anything else you guys want to throw in about fears here?
Ryan had a good one, too. His was people without teeth eating other people.
Ooh. Ooh, like gumming them.
I know, you gotta like, ask your husband about that. I didn't even know
he
wrote
that. Where did he write that?
Like where in, he saw that.
Like in Drag Me to Hell?
Yeah, maybe. I shared the Sirens of Scream Facebook post, and then he wrote the comment on my post. So not even on, like, the root one.
It was pretty gross. What was it? Drag Me to Hell?
Yeah, the Drag Me to Hell. Lady when, she, like, the gypsy woman is, like, gumming the shit out of her chin.
And then the stuff comes out of her mouth while she's doing
it's,
it.
It's, like, slimy. Yeah.
Hella gross. I mean, it's a good fear. Yeah,
it's a good one.
It seems to make more sense that you would be afraid of somebody with teeth biting you, though, wouldn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess the damage has nothing to do with the fear.
Yeah.
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 It's okay. You don't have to agree with me.
Well, all right, then. Well, we're going to wrap that up there. Sirens of Scream is a member of the Mega Nerd Media family. Visit MegaNerdMedia.com for geek-related columns, reviews, interviews, and videos. You can reach us via email at sos@MegaNerdMedia.com or on Twitter at Sirens of Scream. Also on Tumblr and Facebook as Sirens of Scream. Melissa, where can we find you?
You can find me at Lissa Punch on Twitter and Instagram.
How about you, Sierra?
I'm at Sierra Houck on Instagram and Tumblr and Twitter.
You sounded so excited about that.
Yeah, I haven't been looking at Twitter because it just makes me sad.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just, like, not using Twitter anymore.
Yeah, I'm with you there. But if you do want to look at my sadly empty timeline, it's Jackie the Robot.
Wait,
on
why
Twitter
are we
and
sad?
Instagram. Mm-hmm. And...
just Twitter.
Yeah, just life.
It's hard to look at.
Times are rough these days. Yeah. But that's a wrap for this episode. And our next episode, we'll be talking about found footage, and that will be hosted by our lovely Sierra here.
Yeah, I'm going to try to convince you guys to like it.
Oh, I'm on board. I am totally on board.
Okay, good.
All right, thanks for joining us.
Bye.
Bye.